Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are continuing a little examination of David. Yeah, King David, that guy. And we're in 1 Samuel 17, and we saw in the previous episode that David had been sent by his dad to go and take some victuals, take some supplies, some food to his brothers who were at the front line with the army. And this is the army that's in a standoff with Goliath. There's two armies, the Philistines and those of the Lord, people of Israel, and they're standing there staring at each other. They've been doing it for days and days and weeks and weeks. And remember what we saw in 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 says this: "Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?'" So he's referring to a Goliath coming out and taunting the armies of God every day. He's taunting them. And he's saying, "Hey, why don't you send one of your guys over here and the two of us will fight. And whoever wins, the loser's people will be the servant of the winner." Nobody responded to it. So David asked, "Hey, what's going to happen to the man that goes and kills?" And then he asked this question: "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" So here's this young guy, David. He's still a teenager, likely even a young teenager. We don't know the exact age, but he's young. And he's saying, "Who is this guy who's taunting? Don't you see that he's taunting the armies? And you're the armies of the living God." And he's basically saying, "Why hasn't anybody done anything about this?" So verse 27, it says this: "The people answered him in accord with this word, saying, 'Thus it will be done for the man who kills him.'" And we'd seen previously, in the previous verse before this, that the man who did this would be enriched by the king, give him great riches. King's going to give him his daughter, and the king's going to make this guy's house free of tax in all of Israel. Well, this is a major thing. It shows you the desperation of the people, the desperation and despair of the king, King Saul, who should have been the one that would have gone out to battle against this man, who should have put an end to this taunting. So they tell him this, tell David this. Now, verse 28. "Now, Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men." So David's oldest brother heard this. "And Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said," now stop a second, why would his anger burn against his brother? Because his brother said this stuff. Well, we all understand this, do we not? Because it really sort of put the older brother to shame. It sort of put like all the armies of Israel to shame because nobody done anything. Even though David is saying, "Hey, you're the armies of the living God. Hey, God is on your side. Why hasn't somebody put an end to this taunting?" So Eliab is furious over this, okay? He's mad about it. So he gets in David's face and he says this to David: "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, but you've come down in order to see the battle." So he's saying this, and he's saying this, I expect, in front of the men, because it says this, that Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. So here they are in front of all these men, and Eliab, he's putting David in his place, he thinks. And he says, "Why have you come down here? You're nothing. What, you're supposed to be watching these few sheep. Who have you left the sheep with? The one responsibility you've got, you haven't even followed through with it. Who's taking care of those sheep in the wilderness?" And he says, "I know what the real issue is. The real issue is your insolence. The real issue is the wickedness of your heart. You wanted to come down here and see the battle. You wanted to be a part of this, but you're not even worthy of being this. I know what the real problem is." Well, Eliab's totally wrong. Because what is the real problem? Don't forget that Eliab knows that David has been anointed king. He was there when it happened. Yeah. So the real issue isn't with David. The real issue is with his older brother. So David responds, verse 29. "But David said, 'What have I done now? Was it not just a question?'" And if you have any siblings, okay, then you totally understand this type of going back and forth and what's occurring here. David said, what have I done now? And that word now is interesting, is it not? Like, he's put up with this type of thing before. You know, big brothers, all of them give him a hard time. What have I done now? Wasn't it just a question? I just asked a question. Why are you going off at me? Then he turned away, verse 30, then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. So he's asking the people. He says, hey, why hasn't somebody put up with this? You know, why hasn't somebody dealt with this? Hasn't the king put some kind of bounty on this guy? This is what he's asking. And they're saying, oh, yeah, which makes it even worse. If the king's put a bounty on him, then why in the world hasn't somebody dealt with this? Well, it becomes a bit of a hubbub. Why do I know it's become a bit of a hubbub? Verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. What? when you know, you got this teenage kid who's asking a couple of totally insightful and legitimate questions as to the state of the circumstance here, and he's asking because nobody's giving him a real answer. The words of David, they're heard, and somebody goes and tells Saul about it. Were they to the point of despair after 40 days? Remember, this has been going on 40 days. That when somebody was sort of standing up a little bit, saying, hey, you're the righteous armies of God. Why hasn't somebody dealt with this? Why? Did they actually take it to Saul and say something to the king about it? Just think about that for a moment. Or they sit there saying, hey, there's somebody out here that's acting like he could do something, is asking a bunch of questions, making us all very uncomfortable. Well, you know, there's so many principles here, guys, that could be applied to us today, applied to our culture, applied to the portions of the body of Christ in which we hang out. Because we act like these armies right here, folks. I've already mentioned this a little bit. Remember what they were doing? They're just shouting at each other. Yeah, they're in array. They're in array. They're going to go into battle. They're going to go against each other. They haven't even done it yet. They're just mouthing off. They're mouthing off. They're mouthing off. Where are the ones of the living army of God that will stand up and defy evil, that will stand up and do what is right? That's what David is asking here. You know, where is this? Why is this happening? Why is this going down in this way? So Saul sends for him. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. This is just phenomenal, is it not? He gets hauled before the king. King Saul, the first king that Israel had ever had. The man, the one that's head taller than everybody else. And he says to Saul, don't let anybody's heart fail on account of him. Don't worry about it. Y'all don't worry about the big guy across the ravine right here. Your servant, king, me. I will go and I will fight this Philistine. How is it that David was full of this type of boldness? How is it that he knew that he could go and fight this? Well, we've already seen a couple of things. He has been anointed by God to be king, to be the next king. He knows it. He knows he's the next king. If you know you're the next king, you can walk in some boldness. He knows he's going to be alive, that his life is not going to be required of him right now. Also, remember that the Spirit of the Lord was with him. Remember that? From that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord was. That's the reason David is speaking with such a boldness, because the Spirit is with him, because he is the anointed of the Most High. He realizes he's still the servant of Saul, but he's going to go and he's going to fight this Philistine. Ah, I hope you see the pictures here. I hope you understand what's happening, what's going on. The Lord's doing the same thing with us. Are we willing? Again, I'm Dale. Hey, I'll see y'all next episode. Goodbye.